Blog Talk Radio.
To First District Politics. This is my lucky second annual Laura Loomer Valentine show. Tonight, special guest, as everybody knows, is Laura Loomer. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I can't tell you how honored we are to have you on the show tonight. It was a year ago, Valentine's Day, you were on the show, and we talked about ISIS, if you remember, on that show, the Las Vegas shooting and the ISIS connection. And really what's happened with that in the last year, which is going to, because this is a 30-minute show, I want to just dive right in, Laura. We'll go right into the year in review. So
all right.
From this point last year, this point last year to now, what a year, and what a year for you. Where do we even begin? I'm going to throw it right to you.
Well, it's been a lot. I mean, I think of where I was last year, and on Valentine's Day, I was in New York City, and there's been a lot that I've accomplished in the last year. So, I mean, from confronting James Comey, Maxine Waters, Keith Ellison, you know, exposing Ilhan Omar in Minnesota. There's been a lot of different things and a lot of great videos that I've done. It's sometimes hard for me to keep track of everything.
It really is. When you think about the last year, so much has gone down with President Trump, with you, with Twitter, with the censorship thing, the whole nine yards. The Ilhan Omar, when was that last year? When were you up there in Minnesota?
I was in Minnesota last year, I think in September. Or no, August.
Yeah,
July. I was in there. I was in Minnesota from beginning of July. Because I was on the ground. So I had been looking into Minnesota in the months before that, but I was on the ground in Minnesota in July.
Mm-hmm. I met your friend Marnie, via the phone that you met up there, and she's quite a lady,
I met her on Twitter, and then it was so funny because we met on Twitter in the DMs, and then I went to Minnesota and began doing some work, and we became very good friends, and now Marnie and I are close friends.
Yeah, what a wonderful lady, and living up there, and she's been there and seen the change over the time she's been there and how the Sharia has been ushered in. And what she warned me about, Laura, in Wisconsin, is how the Minneapolis St. Paul area, how this whole issue, the Sharia issue, is bleeding into Wisconsin over the river into Hudson, Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of problems because what you have is you have a lot of the immigrants that are being imported, well, refugees, so-called refugees, into Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then these refugees are now, you know, leaking over into other places because they're coming here and, you know, they're claiming that they need to asylum or that they're refugees and that they need to live in the United States, but they're not really staying in the communities that they're being placed. They're being pushed into places like Minnesota, in Minneapolis, which has a very large Somali population now. And they're going to other places like North Dakota. They're going to Wisconsin. And it's a problem because they're also reproducing at a very fast rate as well. So what happens is you have a Somali family that comes, right? And they'll have like 8 kids. And then those kids become American citizens. And then in, you know, 18 years or so, then those people are able to vote. So what we're seeing take place in this country is population replacement, right? We're seeing the importation of people from regions of the world where they are often hostile towards Americans and they don't want to assimilate. And they are coming into our cities and they're replacing us. And that's why you have somebody like Ilhan Omar, who is now a congresswoman in Minnesota, because her district, District 5, is full of Somalis, and they just keep on importing more Somalis there. And, well, eventually, you know, there's not going to be a way to combat against that voting bloc, because they're just going to be there permanently.
Right. And what we're dealing with in Wisconsin, touch a little bit on the first district politics, is this bleeding over. Last year, and in our session up in Madison, Wisconsin, one of our local, actually my retired local representative, tried to introduce AB 401. AB 401 was generically called the American Laws for American Courts bill. That bill got some sponsors, but it was shut down. It couldn't even get to committee. My local senator, Van Wongard, refused to take it up in his committee. When I heard that, I called his office and talked to his staffer, Val, told her, you know, what's going on, and this Sharia is going to bleed over. And here's what she told me. She's a young millennial, recently out of college, you know, indoctrinated by the college system, young Republican. She said, you know, Bill, Sharia is not a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing. These are the same young Republicans that are coming out of college that believe man-made global warming is a thing, is not a thing, and carbon tax, no big deal. So this year, what I've been doing is actually calling up there, tweeting some of my representatives, some of the links that are on Twitter now, where it's obvious that now people have had their head in the sand. We've got these elected officials, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, their associate, the Democrat associate working hand-to-hand, AOC, trying to, again, to kind of get them off the stick. And at least, you know, even if they don't do anything about it, I'm going to be able to say, hey, I told you. It's kind of sad because now here you are in the position of saying, I told you, and you didn't freaking listen to me. What do we do about that?
Yeah, well, look, there's such a misunderstanding in this country. And it's really honestly due to indoctrination and an unwillingness to learn. And it sounds scary, and it should sound scary. And people are unwilling to admit and believe and even open their eyes to the idea that these individuals who are being imported into our country practice mediology, practice a different legal code. You know, they believe in Sharia law and Islamic supremacy, and they don't want to admit it. I mean, these liberals and even some rhinos, they don't want to face the idea that these people coming into our country, a lot of them truly do want to kill us, and that they believe in an entire different legal structure that is incompatible with the United States Constitution. And when you talk about Sharia, a lot of people, they don't know what you're talking about. And it's because the mainstream media, educational institutions, law enforcement agencies have been pressured into not talking about this day and age. You can't really talk about anything without being accused of racism or, you know, Islamophobia, especially if you're talking about issues regarding Islam and Muslims. But look, I always say diversity is going to be what kills us.
No, you're right. They don't know. As you know, I'm always out there trying to get this message out to people by wearing gear or wearing hats or whatever, so that people are going to ask me what's up. If they open the door, hey, you know, I'm going to tell them what's going on. People don't know what Sharia is. They just don't. You have to tell them and let them know. And then you see their jaw drop. They're like, oh my goodness, I'll have to go look that up. Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, well, I hope that more people start to wake up to what is happening in our country, because a lot of people are starting to get outraged on both sides of the aisle about Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. And I think there needs to be more education and more awareness about what Sharia is. And that's why I do what I can, and I do what I do to combat issues like this and to raise awareness about them. But that's also why I'm now banned on social media, because I post too many facts. I told people that Ilhan was anti-Jewish and that she was pro-terror. You know, I reported on all this stuff about her and her brother months and months and months ago, but people just didn't want to believe it. You remember, you know, you're one of my biggest supporters, and you know what happened when I posted that Ilhan married her brother several months ago, right?
Yeah.
People freaked out.
Yeah.
They're like, "Way, no way.
That can't be true.
So,
not in America."
Yeah, people don't want to believe it.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
So in our first half of the show here, the year in review, let's talk about President Trump just for a little bit. How about President Trump?
Well, I think he's doing a good job. I wasn't too happy today. I mean, we are going to get the wall, I guess he said, through a state of emergency. But I don't think that we need to be compromising in terms of, like, Nancy Pelosi's demands. I think the Democrats are holding this country hostage, and we shouldn't be entertaining them and their wild demands.
No, and talking about Nancy Pelosi, let's talk about your Casa de Nancy when you had your amigos over there. That was quite the stunt. Can we call it a stunt?
I guess you could call it a stunt. Well, Nancy Pelosi said that everyone's welcome here and that asylum's a human right and that we shouldn't build a wall because a wall is an immorality. And so I figured, well, Nancy probably wouldn't mind then if I decided to seek sanctuary in her yard. So that's what I did. I decided to seek sanctuary in her yard with several illegal aliens, and I pitched a sanctuary tent with pictures of victims of illegal immigration. And Nancy Pelosi ended up having it supported from her lawn, and she was going to have the police cite us for trespassing. But I'm very confused because, you know, according to Nancy, we live in an open border society. So what does that even mean? You know, what does that even mean when you say that, you know, you're trespassing, for example? Because in order to trespass, you have to have borders. And I thought the Democrats said there were no such thing as borders.
No, you know what impressed me about that, Laura? It's how you, when you went there, you had your live feeds that were going. So the people could watch you in the live feeds, different live feeds. Then you took the live feeds and you, in very short amount of time, you put out some clips up onto your YouTube, some small clips. And then in about a week's time, you came out with the Nancy Pelosi's Wall mini movie, the 18-minute mini movie. And, you know, I know your talents. I didn't know you were quite that good of an actress. I got to say, people, the humor, just unbelievable. Did you know you were an actress, or has that just come natural to you, or what?
I did theater classes when I was in high school, so I don't know.
Okay.
I kind of always
okay.
had a bit of like a, you know, it kind of comes naturally as well.
No, that was pretty impressive. And then was it just a week later that you went over to Gavin's mansion? Were you actually
about
ended up
like a week
arrested?
And a half later. About a week and a half later.
I have to ask, where did you guys get the poncho serapes and the Mexican hats?
A thrift store.
In California?
Yeah, a thrift store in California.
You can't go wrong with that. So you got them for a good deal, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's move now into the next thing that you've got up your sleeve, which is the 48 Dark, the censorship protest in New York coming up on February 20th. What's going on with that?
So I'm having a protest with Adriana, and we're going to be holding a protest outside of Twitter headquarters in New York City on the 20th of February, which is located at 249 West 17th Street. And on the 18th, beginning at midnight, and then ending on the very beginning of the 20th at midnight, we're calling on people to engage in a 48-hour social media blackout with the hashtag 48Dark and hashtag Stop the Bias to protest social media bias.
I think a lot of people are going to be going through some social media withdrawal, so to say, for those 2 days. Are people going to be able to stay off for 2 days?
Well, I mean, I hope so. It's a way to stand in solidarity with those who have been silenced and banned by Twitter simply for their beliefs.
Yeah, I know you're on Parler now, and I guess Parler is going to be okay during the 48 dark. Is that right?
Yes. So I'm not using any social media during that 48-hour time period.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll do that too. Do you know what you're going to be doing out there during the protest? Do you have any, you know, things you can tell us ahead of time, what to look out for? Do you have any tricks up your sleeve or what?
No, we're just going to be having people come out and support the protest and stand against social media bias. So we encourage all people to come and bring their signs and their megaphones and come out and support people who have been banned and silenced.
The question a lot of people have, is she going to handcuff herself to Twitter again?
Maybe. You'll just have to come out and see.
Oh, that's going to be something else. So what else? What else is going on? What do you have planned after that?
Well, I'm going to be working on several projects and combating big tech and going after people who are silencing and shutting down conservatives on social media.
Do you know anything about what President Trump is doing to combat these companies? Isn't he kind of behind the scenes fighting against this for us?
Well, you know, I would love if President Trump would speak out about it more. I really would. But look, he's a busy guy. He's got a lot to do, but I'm hoping that sometime soon our representatives start to address this issue of social media bias.
Yeah. One of your biggest supporters that I've noticed on social media, Michelle Malkin, who's really standing behind you. She's been just great. She gave you a shout out on, was it Fox the other night?
Yeah, she did on Tucker Carlson's show. So, that's really great. And I'm really happy about that. I love Michelle Malkin.
Tommy Lauren gave you a shout out.
Yeah, Tommy Lauren and Michelle Malkin. So, you know, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for that.
Well, I just to take a second and step back, you can't believe how thankful I am to have you on the show two Valentines in a row. So do you know how many guys, Laura, are just so jealous of me right now, being able to talk to you on Valentine's Day?
Yeah,
and they're
two times in a row. It's great. I'm excited.
It is. So we're going to have to, now that you have the second annual, this is going to have to go into infinity. We'll be meeting here every year. I'm going to twist your arm and do what I can to make that happen. You were on Jason Goodman's show the other day. That was quite a show. What did you and Jason talk about?
Well, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about social media censorship, Ilhan Omar, the explanatory memorandum, Islamic infiltration and subversion in the government. And it was a great show. I really love going on Jason's show.
Memorandum you're talking about? What's the name of that again?
The explanatory memorandum.
Why don't you give us a little rundown on that? Because I think that's something that people can actually look up and read for themselves and then maybe help them to inform other people of what's going on.
Right. So the explanatory memorandum is a document that was discovered in an FBI raid in 2004 in Annandale, Virginia, at the home of a senior Muslim Brotherhood official. And in this document, it outlines the Muslim Brotherhood plan to take over the United States of America. And if you haven't read it, you should just go type it in Google, explanatory memorandum, and see for yourself.
Okay.
And, it really does outline the Muslims' plan to take over the United States of America and to implement an Islamic caliphate through the process of civilization jihad. And it's very concerning.
Oh, stand back, Laura. The Trump train just came through. Trump train came through. Sorry to cut you off there.
The Trump train. No worries.
The Trump train.
It just talks about the process of subversion and infiltration. But it's a very concerning document, and more people need to be aware of it. And, you know, this is the Muslim Brotherhood that's planning this. And when you look at groups like CARE in the United States, which are Muslim Brotherhood-tied terrorist organizations, you see firsthand that this is really becoming a reality.
It is. And what do you mean by subversion?
Like when people pretend to be something they're not just to get into positions of power and infiltrate. So
okay.
Ilhan Omar and Rashida
okay.
Tlaib. They're Muslim women,
yeah.
They're jihadis, they hate Israel, they obviously are associated with terrorist organizations, but they're subverting our political system by pretending to be progressives and pretending to advocate for the LGBTQ community and women. But then, you know, they put their Muslim faith and their Muslim ideology before anything else in which they do. And you have to ask yourself, you know, like, how can you claim to be a progressive but also be a Muslim? Have you ever read the Quran? You know, what is progressive about the Quran?
No, and the wording, the progressive, it should be regressive. These people are far from progressive. You know, and here's the thing. What I'm seeing is the Democrats, like, say, AOC, for example, they're aligning with these jihadis that are getting in there. So now you've got the Democrats aligned with the jihadis basically working against all of us. Do you agree with that, that the Democrats are basically
yeah,
one and the same?
Yeah, it's called the Red-Green Alliance. It's called the Red-Green Alliance, where you have the left
okay.
aligning with Islam.
Not good.
But yeah,
not good at all.
Not good at all.
Not good at all. You loomered AOC at the Women's March. That was another good one at the Women's March. When you saw her
yeah.
in person, what's your take on that?
Well, she's a coward. She runs her mouth on social media, but she can't answer a question in public. And so, you know, I just find it to be laughable how this lady, you know, claims to be so outspoken and claims to be such a, you know, force of nature. But she really honestly couldn't even answer me when I asked her why she's with people who openly support Hamas, which is, you know, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And she couldn't answer.
Right.
She just walked away like a deer in the headlights. So, you know, it's really easy to be a keyboard warrior and talk a big talk behind the screen, but it's another thing to, you know, be legitimate and be sincere and be able to answer questions. But look, she's an absolute hypocrite. This is a lady who is now calling for 70% tax on people's income, right? She just recently got a $10 million contract from Netflix for a documentary about her run for Congress and you know her position now as a congresswoman. So I want to know, is she going to tax herself 70% or is she going to keep all that money?
No. Another thing that's interesting is how they have the balls say, you know, a lot of people, I guess we can say that now. Do you like it when people say that Laura Loomer's got balls? Do you mind that at all or?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. No, but how they call out Trump on tweets, and to me, that they learned that when you attack President Trump, that's not going to be a good thing for you?
Well, they're not very smart. They're just attention seekers.
Yeah. Well, you can see where AOC is a product of the education system. She spent her whole life in this, being indoctrinated through the education system all through her college, and you see what you get. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad how Hollywood and the media are trying to normalize these people into being heroes of some sort. So, you know, it's not good. Not good at all.
Not good at all. So you talked about Adriana, who's going to be at the protest in New York with you. That's Adriana, you at Adriana USA on Twitter. She's quite a young lady.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, she's helping. She organized us, and I'm going to be going, and I'm excited to go out there and
and participate with her, and you're going to be there, and a lot of great people are going to be showing up. So I hope that everyone listening decides to show up and protest.
No, same here. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait. A matter of fact, it's going to be epic.
Definitely.
So, we're down to 4 minutes left in the show, Laura. Take the last 4 minutes. Give us the scoop. It's on you, Laura.
Well, I'm going to be holding my protest at Twitter, of course, and I'm going to continue investigating Ilhan Omar. And my court date for my arrest at Gavin Newsom's place is coming up soon, so that's going to be interesting to see. And I'll be at CPAC this year as well, so for those of you who are coming to CPAC, be sure you come out and see me. That will be fun. And I'm working on a lot of projects right now. Lots of things.
One of the things I wanted to talk about, you being banned off of PayPal, and
yeah.
I know that you've gotten new ways to get the funds to you. So is Patreon still a good venue for people to come, or is that tied into PayPal?
Yeah, I would not tell people to use my Patreon because, well, I still have Patreon, but the issue is it's like it's connected to my PayPal, and PayPal isn't letting me have my money. And so I'm asking people right now to support me on Rev, so loomer.rev.co, and you've posted that link as well, and they can go to my website and click on it as well to make a contribution, but that's where I'm asking people to go.
Okay. And on Rev, I know that Rev has an opportunity for a one-time donation, and does Rev also have an opportunity for a monthly donation like Patreon?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. Yeah, it does. For those listening,
so basically,
if you were giving me a monthly payment on PayPal, that is now canceled. So please switch over to Rev.
Okay. Will do. We will do. Well,
but
we've got two more
everybody
minutes.
In the fan club. You know, I'm not on Twitter, but I love all the people in the fan club, and I'm grateful to them and everything they do to help me get my videos out. So thank you so much.
No, they appreciate it. They really support you. The fan club has really grown. It's been just a couple months. The fan club is up to just about 14,000 followers. We're getting about 1.5 million impressions in a 28-day period. The analytics are really good. It's going strong. Yeah, it really is. It just shows the love and the support that the people have for you. It's
yeah,
unbelievable.
And I appreciate it so much. So, you know, I'm very thankful for it.
I've been following your Instagram. Now that you're on Instagram, I had Instagram. Wasn't on Instagram too much, but it looks like your Instagram is growing pretty well. So I'd like to see a lot of people get over to your Instagram and follow you there. You do post there daily. You've got some good posts.
Follow me. Yeah, because that's where I'm posting a lot of my content now. So for anybody listening, if you were following me on Twitter, please go and follow me on Instagram.
Instagram seems to be working good. I have a question. Can you share, you know, you make your those memories. Is that what it's called on Instagram?
Yeah, stories.
Stories. Can those be shared? I haven't found out how to share a story. Are those shareable?
Share people's stories. They definitely are. So if you follow me on Instagram, you can share my stories.
Okay. When we get offline, I'll have you show me how to do that, and then I'll spread the word with the people. The
All
stories
right, wonderful.
Are pretty interesting. It's up close and personal. Something that you can't get on Twitter, so in a sense, it's a little better, much more personal.
Yeah, Instagram is
well,
more
we're down.
Personal. I really like Instagram. I really enjoy it, so I hope people follow me there. I'm almost up to 100,000 followers on Instagram.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
Nope, not bad.
No. Well, this 30 minutes... It goes so quick, Laura. The 30 minutes is basically over now. Again, just thank you for coming on the podcast. We'll share this out.
Anytime.
But you we'll let you get back to doing your laundry. I can't believe you do your own laundry.
That's a joke. I do everything with my
own. No, I know.
I did
That's
it.
Great.
You did laundry today earlier. I actually finished my laundry earlier. I'm not doing laundry anymore. I'm just doing some work tonight, writing some more articles, and, you know, pretty exciting Valentine's Day, you know. I did some laundry today and cleaned my place and did some work. Very exciting day.
Well,
and, before I go to bed each night, I always, like, check my Instagram and I read messages from people and try to reply to some of my supporters. So that's probably what I'll do for the rest of my night is reply to some messages.
That sounds good. Sounds real good. We really appreciate you coming on the show, and we're going to catch up with you after the show. And thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any last words you want to say?
I hope to see you guys all at 48 Dark. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a good time. Adriana's going to be there, so I'm looking forward to seeing you in person.
Same here. Can't wait. Give you a big hug.
Yeah.
On that
right.
note,
That'd
happy
cool.
Valentine's Day, Laura. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. You know, you get to spend two Valentine's Days with me in a row. Lucky you.
All right. Thank you. We're going to end this episode in 3, 2, 1. All right. Thank you, everybody, and have a great night. Bye now.